This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Shane Connaughton, co-wrote the screenplay for the movie My Left Foot, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award. Now he has a new movie, The Playboys. It's based on his memories of growing up in the 1950s in a small village in Ireland, just south of the border with Northern Ireland, where his father was the police sergeant. The movie stars Robin Wright as a strong-willed, independent, single woman who has a baby and, much to the dismay of the priest and everyone else in town, won't tell who the father is and won't give the baby up for adoption. Albert Finney is the village police sergeant who tries to force her into accepting his marriage proposition. Aidan Quinn plays a member of a touring theater group that livens up the village with its ragged performances. Connaughton also has a new novel about coming of age in a divided Ireland called The Run of the Country. He told me that his new film was inspired in part by his memories of what it was like when the touring theater troupes performed in his village.
Well, it was very exciting because where I grew up, this village in Ireland, miles and miles and miles from anywhere, we weren't near Dublin, we weren't near Belfast, we were right along the border. Nothing ever happened there. The only thing that ever happened was when these actors used to come every summer for a week or two onto the village green. In the middle of this village, there was a green, and they put a tent up, a marquee, and they performed plays there, melodramas and variety and a bit of Shakespeare. So, of course, it was the only thing exciting to happen all year, and certainly the only thing, well, the only thing outside Mass exciting.
Was Mass exciting?
Well, no, I don't think it was, but it was. So we had a priest there who was very dramatic in the pulpit, but he was trying to give us a bad time, while the actors were trying to give us a good time. So he was trying to make us feel miserable. The actors were trying to make us feel good, and they certainly did. We loved them, and we thought, of course, the actresses were very exotic and erotic, and we looked on them like people today look on the Hollywood film stars.
In the very last scene of your movie, when the actors are leaving town, there's a kid who's just been in the background throughout the movie, but this kid is kind of chasing after the cars. Was that you?
Well, in a way it was, but actually the boy who played that part in the film, he's the son of a friend of mine I went to school with, so it was extraordinary to see my friend's children acting in the film, and certainly that boy, you know, in a way it was very strange because that boy is so like his father. Like when I went back there making the film, it was really like becoming a child again. It was an amazing experience because I'd look at these children and they were so like their father. So I don't think we die at all. We just come back in another generation.
There's a scene in the movie where the actors go in and they see Gone with the Wind, the movie Gone with the Wind, and they say, hey, we'll do that. And then the next night they're out there doing this really sloppy version of Gone with the Wind. Is that typical of what the theater troupe that came to your town did?
Well, there was one group who used to do things like, for instance, they did the whole Bible, the whole Old Testament. And the way the can you imagine deciding on the spur of the moment to act out the Old Testament on stage, and the way they started it, a hand just reached out from the side holding an apple. So that was the kind of imaginative thing they could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so likewise doing Gone with the Wind. I mean, you see, because the cinema was a threat to their business, and because there was no cinema in the village, they'd go to the nearest big town, see the movie, and come back and act it out for the villagers, so the villagers wouldn't have to go and see the movie. The actors would act it out for them.
Right.
So in The Playboys, you get these actors acting out Gone with the Wind and one of them playing Rhett Butler, et cetera, et cetera.
You shot The Playboys in your old hometown of Red Hills. Do you think the movie crew brought the kind of excitement to the town that you remember theater troupes bringing?
Oh, they did. It really was amazing because the village only has about 20 houses. And the surrounding population is only about 500. So when the movie crew came, they brought hundreds of people. It was so exciting. The villagers watched the shooting of the film every day. And when we did the night scenes, they stayed until 5 o'clock in the morning watching it. Because it was just like being a kid again with the actors.
Is the town still as repressive as it was? Because that's really a lot of what your movie is about.
Well, it's not anymore because, you see, in that age, when the film was set, there wasn't television in Ireland. And, you see, the church had a very powerful hold on the people. People would argue for the better. But when television came, which is happening at the end of The Playboys, television came and went into everybody's room And, you know, it had a huge impact on the life of the country. So it has changed completely because of television. You know, we could get American shows and Hollywood shows and shows from England and girls in bikinis. And, you know, so the priest could no longer control things.
Your movie, The Playboys, is in part about the town's two authority figures, the priest and the police sergeant, and their conflicts with the woman who's the town nonconformist. Now, in your town, your father was one of the authority figures. He was a police sergeant, yes?
That's right. He was quite a powerful man in the village because he was the police sergeant. He saw that the law was kept and not broken. And he was a very professional policeman because he had been a detective in Dublin in the early days of his life in the police force, but with a change of government, which happened in the 1930s, he was taken out of... he was stopped from being a detective and put into uniform and sent up to this little place where there wasn't a lot of crime. So, you know, he spent all his days looking for crime, except there was no crime. So he was quite a frustrated man. As a policeman, he was quite a frustrated man. For instance, he was always dreaming of the perfect murder. So he could... he was always hoping for a murder so he'd be able to crack it. But, of course, nobody murdered each other around there. I mean... Or the only crime was donkeys walking the roads unshod or hens trespassing into a neighbour's garden or something nonsensical. So he was quite a frustrated police person.
So how would he use his power if there wasn't a lot of crime for him to stop?
Well, he'd stop people going home from the pub at night time with no lights on their bicycles. Or he'd arrest people if they were drunk driving. But then when the IRA started a campaign, he was involved there.
Involved with trying to stop it?
Yeah, trying to stop it. But of course, because he was on the southern side of the border and they were active on the northern side of the border, they only passed through where we lived. So, but still, he would try and arrest them. But, you know, an ordinary policeman trying to arrest the IRA, he wasn't very successful. But then he was very ambiguous about the whole thing anyway, because he was very anti the border. He was very anti the partition of Ireland. He was very anti-British. So he was in a strange quandary. He was a policeman looking for crime and it didn't exist. He didn't believe in the border, yet he was in search of the IRA, who didn't believe in the border. So there were all sorts of contradictions in his life, which made for a lot of frustration. But in other ways, of course, he was a fine man.
My guest is Shane Connaughton, and he wrote the screenplay for the new movie The Playboys, which stars Aidan Quinn, Albert Finney, and Robin Wright. He also co-wrote the screenplay for My Left Foot, and he has a new novel called The Run of the Country. Tell me more about what it meant to live in a border town.
Well, it's different to any other part of Ireland, because most people, when they think of Ireland, they think of Connemara and Galway or down around the lakes of Killarney. But this part of Ireland, being on the border, it's got two religious communities. It's got one Catholic and one Protestant. It's got two political persuasions, one who believed that the border shouldn't be there and another who believed that it should be there. So it's got a mix that nowhere else in Ireland has. It's also a very, very beautiful part of Ireland. It's full of lakes and rivers and mountains. And it's the last outpost of Western Europe. It's completely undiscovered. But yet, as you can see from the film The Playboys, it's stunning territory. So the countryside was beautiful. I mean, I really had the run of the country. I could go anywhere in perfect safety. Into the woods, the mountains, the rivers, the lakes. You know, we could go anywhere and play in safety all day long. It was wonderful for a child in one way. I mean, it's not like growing up in a city where parents are frightened that something's going to happen to their children. I mean, we had no sex perverts. We had no murderers. There was nothing like that. We had complete and utter freedom. So that was wonderful. A wonderful childhood in that way.
Were you or anyone you know ever involved in arms smuggling like some of the characters you've created?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're growing up in a community, you know what's going on and you know everybody. And there was an IRA border campaign going on from 1956 to 1962. I was a teenager then. And so we knew people, yeah, and we all smuggled because, I mean, a pound of butter in our village was 5 shillings. But yet if you crossed over the border, you could get the same pound of butter for 2 and 6. So everybody went across the border to get their butter. It's called smuggling. people in the north came down for the and smuggled drink and cigarettes because it was cheaper in the south. So there was a whole thing still going on today. I mean, if you've got a border, no matter where it is in the world, you've got smuggling. The border between America and Mexico, the, you know, borders everywhere. There's commerce. People live by it, make their living on it. Today, it's much cheaper to buy televisions, record players, videos in the north and than it is in the south. So lots of people go up from the south to buy these goods and smuggle them across. And then there were professional smugglers. We had a professional smuggler at home. People from all over Ireland would send orders to him and he'd do it. Sometimes he was caught, but he got away with it a lot. Incredible character.
Did your father approve of smuggling? Did he?
No, he didn't. He played it by the rules, everything. He was a very upright person. He never broke the rules at all. He was completely uncorruptible. He was like Robespierre. And politically, he was slightly to the right of Genghis Khan. But he never broke the rules. And he was against all rule breaking.
But you participated in smuggling. Did he ever find out about it?
No, he only once, when my mother, behind his back, sent me to get butter. And I rode over the border on my bicycle and brought it back, and I had the butter on the carrier at the back of my bicycle, and he was in the village when I came into the village, and he saw the butter on the back of the bicycle, and he knew that I'd smuggled it, and he was absolutely raging because, you know, the sergeant's son actually smuggling, it wasn't good. Plus, he was also raging that I didn't cover the thing up. put it into a bag or something. I mean, I had the butter there for everybody to see.
What were your understandings about the conflict in Ireland? How informed were you growing up?
Well, the conflict in Ireland, where I grew up, I was educated in a Catholic school, and we all knew that the border shouldn't have been there. We were taught that. The British partitioned the country and left us in a complete mess, which is still going on today. So it was, you know, we believe one thing, but other people believe something different.
So you wanted a united, independent Ireland?
Exactly. I still do. Because the Irish people have to learn to live in peace. You see, we haven't learned to as W.B. Yeats said, we haven't learned to live in peace with each other. That's why we're in conflict. We have to share the island in peace.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Shane Connaughton. He wrote the screenplay for the new movie The Playboys, which stars Aidan Quinn, Albert Finney, and Robin Wright. He also co-wrote the screenplay for My Left Foot, and he has a novel called The Run of the Country. We're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Shane Connaughton is my guest. He wrote the screenplay for the new movie The Playboys, and he co-wrote the screenplay for My Left Foot. In your new movie The Playboys and in your new novel The Run of the Country, there are both characters who are single women who have gotten pregnant. In the movie, that's just the scandal of the town, and it's you know, just the most sinful thing imaginable because she doesn't want to get married. She wants to bring up the child on her own, at least for now. Do you remember situations like this when you were coming of age, and was it just the worst thing?
Yeah, absolutely the worst thing, because you can imagine the sexual repression emanating primarily from the Catholic Church. I mean, sex was a taboo subject. You just didn't mention it. And for any girl, any single girl to get pregnant, it was just dynamite. She had no one to help her. She was usually ostracized, or things were made difficult for her. I mean, the child was called a bastard, and she was just looked down on as being an unfortunate kind of a woman. And quite a lot of girls, who, when they did get pregnant, rather than shame the family sent them to England, and they had the baby over there and put into orphanages. So it was a terrifying thing to happen.
There's a paragraph I'd like you to read from your new novel, The Run of the Country. The main character's best friend gets his girlfriend pregnant, and Prunty is his name, the best friend. And I'm going to have you read that paragraph.
Prunty knew what it meant, making a girl pregnant. The trauma, the stigma, born out of wedlock. A bastard. It sounded medieval. The outrage of family and community, the remarks passed, the hopeless, confined future. You were trapped for good and all. You could never get over it. Now was he a lucky boy. It was an unwritten law that if you took more than your fair share of pleasure, you eventually got more than your fair share of pain. He looked at the hedges, at the road flowing beneath his wheels, at the sky, his hands, trousers. They all looked unreal, stupid, hateful. He had planted something in Anna's belly, and it was going to grow and come out one day and sit looking at him, demanding to be fed. He was going to be what his father was, a father. He was going to be stuck dead centre between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Did this happen to anyone you were close to?
Yeah, it did. It happened to quite a few people because, of course, no matter how what the state of a repression is, nature will out. Nature has to take its course, especially with young people. So, yeah, there was always somebody in trouble. You always knew somebody, you know, you were really hoping it wasn't going to happen to you.
So you must have grown up, well, pretty terrified in a way of the consequences of sex.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was no such thing as contraception in Ireland then. In fact, we've only just brought it in a few years ago.
There weren't even condoms?
No. Some brave souls went across the border and smuggled some back. But even Northern Ireland, that's a pretty repressed place too. It's not Catholic repression there. It's Puritan, Protestant repression. Same, but they're both the same, opposite sides of the same coin. So it was a predicament for young people. There was no such thing as sexual freedom, that's for certain.
One of the themes of your writing is leaving Ireland, or at least leaving the town that you grew up in. In one of your short stories, the mother who hasn't left says, "I wish I'd gone to America." Was there growing up always the sense that, well, you could have gone to America? Lots of other people in the family or in the town did.
Well, you see, well, my mother couldn't go. I mean, she had no money to go. And also, my mother had 8 children. I wasn't an only child. I write about an only child in the books because, in a sense, all children are only children, if you see what I mean. But my mother had 8. There were 8 of us in that barracks. So, you know, what could she do? She spent every minute of the day and night looking after us all. My father was the biggest child of the lot. I remember, in fact, my father was working in the garden one day. You know, he loved growing his own vegetables, and he was very good at it. And one of the younger children, the baby, was in the pram outside the barracks, and it started raining. And my mother came out and took the pram in out of the rain. And shortly, about 10 minutes later, my father came in, and he said to my mother, "You never came out and told me it was raining." And so he was like a child himself.
Yeah. How did you leave the town that you grew up in?
I left to go to England because there was no work in Ireland. And I had to go. I when I finished school, there was nothing for me. In fact, I got one offer of a job in Dublin to learn the bar trade, and my wages was £1 a week and live in for 4 years or something. That's the only thing I got offered to me. I mean, it just wasn't for me. So I went to England, and like so many other people, I mean, the population was hemorrhaging out of Ireland in those days. Still is, in fact. So that's one of the curses of Ireland, that we have this terrible problem of no work for our young people. So I had to leave like everybody else.
But I suppose in leaving, you were exposed to things you never would have been exposed to had you stayed. I mean, for instance, you became an actor. There wouldn't have been any opportunities if you'd stayed.
No, none whatever. That's the thing, you see. It's a double-edged weapon, I suppose. You don't want to leave home, but when you do, you've got tremendous freedom. You're suddenly on your own with no parents looking over your shoulder. You can do what you want, go where you want, do what you like, and which is what I did, and I became an actor. My father didn't like me becoming an actor. He used to call it play acting. "When are you going to give up this play acting?" he used to say. But, you know, I did my own thing and made a life for myself, and that's what we all got to do, no matter where we come from.
Well, in America, you're best known for your writing. You've got your new movie, The Playboys, and you also co-wrote the screenplay for My Left Foot. How did you get to co-write that? What was the story behind that?
My Left Foot?
Yeah.
Well, the producer, Noel Pearson, who produced the film, asked me to write the script.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim Sheridan, the director, he came on board and we co-wrote it. And then Jim begged them to let him direct it, because he'd never directed anything before, and eventually he persuaded them to let him direct it. But Jim and I had worked, you see, I'd worked in the theatre in Dublin at one period, after I came back from England. And he directed me in a theatre version of Down All the Days by Christy Brown, who wrote My Left Foot. And so we knew the subject matter well, and we knew each other well. And Jim was a director, a theatre director in Dublin, and a very, very good one, a brilliant one with actors. So we knew our material, and Pearson asked us to do it, and we did it. And we never expected that it was going to be such a huge success. Nobody ever did. I mean, everybody told us we were mad. Writing a film about a cripple in a wheelchair, you're mad. Nobody would go and see it. But, of course, everybody did. In fact, it must have been one of the cheapest made movies ever. I think it only cost about £1 million, about $2 million. So when we came to America for the Oscars, we were told to pretend it cost about $6 or $7 million. Otherwise, people would think it was a home movie and not take it seriously.
Had you ever met Christy Brown?
Yeah, we did. When we did the theatre version of Down All the Days, he came to see us. And he was there in the audience, and afterwards at the party, you know, he could drink like a fish. He used to drink Guinness out of a pint glass through a straw. And you just see him sticking his mouth onto this straw and sucking, and the whole thing disappearing in a few seconds. I mean, he must have had a bladder like a ship's tank. He was an extraordinary character. He loved music, loved rock and roll, and he'd love you to catch hold of him, lift him up, and swing him around the room to a record. You know, he's an amazing man.
Did you do that?
Yeah, yeah, amazing fella.
Is your father still alive?
No, he died in 1983. So I don't know what he'd say about all this.
Right, you might not have written it had he been alive, maybe.
No, I started writing my first book, Aboard a Station, when he was actually in hospital dying of cancer. And I used to sit beside the bed writing in this notebook. And that's when it all started, because I could only write about it when he died, because it was like a huge weight being taken off my head. And I set out to understand him and to try and understand why I was afraid of him and why I loved him so much.
Well, Shane Connaughton, I thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Shane Connaughton wrote the screenplay for the new movie, The Playboys. His new novel, The Run of the Country, has just been published by St. Martin's Press. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.